You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield, and joining me this week are Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to start this. I'm going to say happy.
Colin Stevens is back.
Birthday.
And yes! Mike Medina joins us after a long hiatus.
Damon!
Okay, we did it. We did it.
That was not planned.
Thank you all. Thank you all very much. We are recording this week's episode on my 45th birthday. 45, feeling fine, happy to be here. The crazy thing is when I stopped to think that when I started hosting this show, I was 28 years old. Spry little 28.
That's half the age you are now.
Here I am at 45, still keeping it going.
Math checks out.
Damon, if I look half as good as you do when I'm 45, I won't. I'm not even going to say it because I won't. I just know I won't. I'm falling apart already, and I'm in my
just
early 30s.
Just say one of those confusing Bilbo statements where you're like, I like half as much of you as half as much as you expect.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. Well, we've got a great show for you this week. The great deluge of games in 2023 has begun. Lots of games out, lots of games to talk about. We'll also be checking in with the Nintendo Seal of Quantity because since a week has gone since our last check-in, so Shovelware developers have released another 10,000 games into the eShop. But first, we begin this week with Dead Space, the Dead Space remake, which will be out by the time you are consuming this episode. IGN's review went up today, gave it a 9 out of 10. I've been playing a lot of it. I think I'm about halfway through. I know Sam has been playing it. Anyone else playing Dead Space?
I think I'm halfway through as well.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I think it's great. I loved the original Dead Space in 2008. And in my mind, I've still loved it, but I've never really revisited it since then. So I'm happy to find that it holds up really well, and it's better looking and playing than it's ever been. Because they didn't just polish up, you know, the graphics; they sort of smoothed over some of the awkwardness of the puzzles, and the combat feels great. I just love it. I don't think it could have turned out better. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I was telling Damon that, like, we were living in an era. And which when that game came out, I took for granted that there'd just be Resident Evil 4 like games for the rest of my life, like a couple of them every year. And I was like, this is a pretty good Resident Evil 4 like game. And then they just stopped coming. Yeah. And then I go back and play this. I'm like, we're only playing remakes of Resident Evil 4 now in Dead Space, which is really funny. But they're wonderful games and they're so playable. And you hop in and you feel powerful and then you never have enough ammo and you feel terrified. And it's so great. And I was the way I describe it is I remember it being this awesome, And like, this is up, brought up to the expectation that I would have of what it would look like now, which is like, this is basically what I remember it looking and playing like then. But like, I'm sure if I went back at what, it's not like that at all. But it feels like a modern, fun Resident Evil like game. And I just love little things about it. Like every time somebody calls you, the radio static, it sounds exactly like a shrieking skin monster. And like, there's like little jump scares that they just work into the background of the game like that, which are just so smart and cool.
Yeah. I always feel like every time like a remake or a remaster comes out, you know, it's done its job when it's like, it's as good as you remember, but it looks how it feels like it should look in your mind. You're just like, this is how it's always looked. And then you go back and play the old one and you're like, oh my. But I have a little bit of a unique perspective, as I never played the original. So
interesting.
And so I've been playing this one, and to me, I don't know, like, if you would have never told me that this game existed and this was just a new game, I would be like, yep, this is a new game and it's great. Like, it doesn't feel old, I guess you'd say. Like, it works. I've been playing on PC, mouse and keyboard. I think it works completely fine. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like an old game. It feels like it was made for today. And I know sometimes
like the inspiration must be the Resident Evil remakes, like 2 and
3. Right.
Like, it's just it's that type of feel. It's a better horror action game than was made back then. And we don't get a lot of these games. It's disappointing, you know?
Except for Callisto Protocol a month ago, made by the same person.
inevitably, you know, people end up comparing this to Callisto. I think it's much better than Callisto, which is just, it's interesting because, as Mark pointed out, you know, you've got the co-creator of Dead Space making a spiritual successor. It just isn't, it's just not as good.
Yeah.
I think that like the creature design is much cooler in Dead Space than it is in Callisto. The combat feels great. It doesn't have the sort of wacko punch out dodge mechanics that Callisto does. It's really good. And it's just like really cool. Like, the original Dead Space isn't that old. It didn't really need to be fully remade, but they did it. And I really appreciate it. It's like, just like, what a cool little like thing that EA and developer Motive did. I love it.
Is this a $70 game?
It is a $70 game, which some people have, you know, expressed disappointment with.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, the thing that's happening in our time and some of the other games we're going to talk about is that there's this big pressure to do open world games that have about as much content as this Dead Space remake. Like, Forspoken's about 15 hours, you know, it's like, it's kind of this, like, and the overworld is like really not necessary in that game. So it's like, I kind of like, there's so much more cleverness that can go into the layout and design and just spookiness of a horror action game when it's in this type of format. It's not on rails. You do retread, right? Mm-hmm. You have to like know passages and you get shortcuts back to where you are. It's not like Metroid. You don't get like a big door opener or anything, but if you retread, you get rewarded for it. And sometimes you get punished for it because there's just enemies back in that area. And it's just it's focused, and I really like it for that reason. Now, $70 focused, that's tough, man. That's a big price for a remake.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But I will say, you know, it feels like it has incredibly high production values, you know, especially for someone like Mark who hadn't played the original. Like Mark, would you, like, this feels like a fully, like, it should be a full priced game, right?
That's what I was going to say, is I feel like it depends on how you look at it. If you're very familiar with Dead Space, it's you've played it a million times, $70 probably tough to swallow. But like, me just driving to the store and picking up this game that has, according to How Long to Beat, is you know, it's like 12 hours for the main story and then 20 plus, like, and it's just completely brand new experience. I don't know what doesn't make that a $70 game.
Colin, is this something you want to play?
I am so jealous that all of you have been playing this game. Hopefully that'd be great.
We'll start a GoFundMe
tomorrow. Yeah, right. Give me that $70. It'll be the smallest GoFundMe ever. So whenever there's a game that I'm really excited about coming out, I will always sort of like plan a night to just like stay in, order like pizza, drink some soda, and just hunker down and go for it. And this is one of the games I'm going to do it for. Nice. And I could not be more excited. I have also never played the original I've become a huge fan of horror games, but it was around when Resident Evil 7 got announced. that I decided to sort of dig into the Resident Evil series and sort of play all the games leading up to it. And until before that point, I was like too much of a scaredy cat to really play horror games. And so this predated when I was playing horror games. And I was actually like considering playing this on Game Pass, the original version. And then this was announced. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to play the remake. And I'm super, I for one, I'm actually pretty glad that it is very close to the original game. To my understanding, there's some new stuff, but it's largely like one-to-one, right? Is that accurate?
Your main character talks in this one, and I don't believe he did in the original.
Yeah, he was silent in the original, but then he did speak in both 2 and 3, so they're just bringing parody across all of them, I guess.
So would you guys say,
in the
if I play this
game, you just go, hey! Hey!
I think you're thinking of something else. So in your all's opinion, do you think, like, if I play this version of the game, like, it counts as me playing Dead Space? Yeah,
I think so.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. Because like if you see on the screen right now, like a cutscene, like that, you can tell these are like cutscenes from back then, right? Because we actually made a comparison of it versus Callisto, and Callisto's like super cinematic, and that's just kind of how you expect games to be. It's like Josh Duhamel's face is like super close to the screen, where it's like this. I don't consider it like old or like outdated, but like the Half-Life 2 style of watching a cutscene play out while you can just be like running around and looking wherever, that's definitely like of the era, and they didn't change that. That's still in this game.
Cool.
I love
it. Go ahead.
Everyone's so excited about Dead Space.
I'll go last. You go, Damon.
I was just going to say, I love the zero HUD experience. Your health is on your back. Your ammo is on your gun. You know, prompts will pop up right when you step right in front of a locker to open it. It makes for a really nice experience.
It still feels fresh. The UI still feels clever. And you're like, this is amazing. Other games have done this since then, but I don't remember them. I remember Dead Space 4. And every time you bring up your map, it's a projection in front of you. Every time somebody's talking to you, you can walk around a room and it is projecting in front of you. It's the technology is fully locked in the game. And here's another thing that if you haven't played Dead Space, or maybe you don't remember this about Dead Space, this game is a gravity gun game, and it completely draws inspiration from Half-Life 2 as much as anything. And you do so much manipulation of the environment, including really fun things where you can like rip a pipe off a wall once you know you can do that, or you can smash a wall and pull a fan out of the wall. You know that, David? And then you shoot that. You can use that as like a saw blade and shoot that.
That's awesome.
You constantly are moving around things and throwing them and saving ammo that way.
Yep.
And I just think that's just the most brilliant, cool thing along with the HUD about this game. And the fact that they brought this into the modern time just shows like how ahead of the curve like EA was. And again, like I just expected games to go this direction and get them all the time. Mm-hmm. That is not what happened. This is like a very, you know, limited genre still. And I'm so excited to play.
It's so funny that you bring up the gravity gun thing, because I do the same thing as I did back in Half-Life. It's like a monster's coming towards me. I like slow him down. I'm backing up and I'm just pulling whatever I can. And I'm like, here's a water bottle. Here's like a trash can. He's just like, okay. It's great. I love it.
Yep. So what do you guys think is next for this team? Do you think they're going to remake Dead Space 2, or do you think maybe they'll go for like a new Dead Space?
I don't know. Dead Space 2 is also very good.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
It's 3 that most people don't super love, right?
Yeah, they swung too far away from horror. It's just more of an action game, and there's all this loot that you have to collect in it. Yeah. It just kind of lost its way.
Got it.
Sam, I wonder if you agree with this, though. When comparing Dead Space Remake to other modern survival horror games, I think I would prefer all the modern Resident Evils over this.
Yeah, I think they have a better, I guess, just foundation in like, I don't know how to say this. Like, they're like B movies. This is too, but and they just appeal to me on that kind of like corny level. And then they're just also like they have a little bit more cleverness with retreads and puzzles and things that you kind of have to do. And then there's like a replayability, which I don't know about yet with Dead Space. So as soon as I beat Resident Evil 2 Remake, I replayed it immediately. And I did that with 3 also. I love playing those games with what comes next. And they added a new game plus to this. So that's really cool. But then again, I played Dead Space before. I actually worked on the guide for it. So I'm a little, like, I thought I'd be a little sick of this game. But, like, no, it has its claws in me. I will keep playing it. but I don't think I want to play it a second time.
Mm-hmm. There is a new game plus, but I just think with the Resident Evils, there's a greater variety of environments. No matter where the game is set, you always sort of like...
Yeah, that's true. The Ishimura is cool. Like, it's neat the first time you're like, oh, this is
cool.
Gritty mining ship, but it stays a gritty mining ship. And there's moments where you're like, this is kind of neat. I'm in a staff room or a bathroom or whatever. And then you have to realize, too, like, a couple hours of this game are the same enemy. Like, you do, like, the human-like ones, and then, like, the baby-like ones, and then it kind of opens up from there, but, like, not a whole lot. Whereas, like, and, like, I can't speak to Resident Evil's variety too much, but it's kind of, in this game, it feels like you learn an enemy type and then they throw a lot of them at you. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to the next one, they throw a lot of them at you. So it's like super creative. Mm.
What I appreciate about this game, I don't know if it was in the old ones, but like Mark Medina, he's getting old. He has a bad memory. And so I played and then I didn't play for like a day and I came back and I'm like, oh no. I have zero idea where to go. Like just from a date, because you're right. The ship does look very similar, but there's like a button you push and it just tells you where to go. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. It's a perfect, I use it all the time. It's a great tool in this game.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And then the other thing is that zero G controls are so well thought out. Like I get in the zero G and it's like, press all these buttons. You're like, oh no, this might be a little bit rough. And then you get in, you're like just flying around, shooting things and gravity gunning. And I'm just like, how is this so well done? Like, it's just so well done. Like it just has better controls than, you know, most modern games easily. And it goes seamlessly into flying. That's so cool.
I think I've heard that the anti-gravity in the first game was like one of the worst parts of it.
It was like, I remember being good in two. I don't remember it being in one very much.
In one, I think you just like pointed at a direction. You could just go there. You didn't have free roaming.
Oh, gotcha. So that little like blue circle that shows up when you can land. That was just like how you moved in the original. Oh, that's interesting. Around.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Basically. So they kind of almost like brought things that they introduced in the later games and sort of brought it back to this.
Yeah,
game.
Which kind of shows you their hand a little bit, right? Like now they kind of have an engine that can run too, basically easily, it seems like. And then like, I think like they could make an original game too, but I don't know. The fun thing about this game too is that you discover the universe and then like the more that you know about the universe in the next game, it's like, it's not that appealing of a universe. Like who cares? But in this game, it's fun. Like it's kind of boundary pushing. Like it makes a lot of comparisons to like a certain contemporary religion, which is shocking. Like I can't believe it's in the game.
I like that. I like, you know, I like the whole the basic concept of like this alien artifact that is discovered and makes people go crazy. Like that on its own is just a concept that I like.
And it's just 100% from Event Horizon, right? That's just like completely ripped from that.
Probably. I've never actually seen Event Horizon. Maybe I have.
It's exactly that plot. Okay. And it has a bunch of like dismemberment and skin and stuff on a scary spaceship. I remember it being really fun to watch. Now, I mean, you could also say that 2001 Space Odyssey dealt with similar themes because the monolith makes a bunch of apes hurt each other and then it makes a computer go crazy. That happens, right?
It's true.
No spoilers.
Okay. Anyway, Dead Space is out. It's great. It's Damie recommended. This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. Colin, how have you been enjoying Fire Emblem Engage?
I've really been loving it. I've been a Fire Emblem fan for a while, starting with like the GBA games, which is, I think, around when they actually started bringing
them
to the US.
That's basically
the start
for us, right?
Yeah. So I've been loving it. It definitely goes back to sort of the gameplay core of previous Fire Emblems. I felt like Three Houses got a lot more focused on the outside of combat stuff, with you going around the monastery and talking to people constantly. I got to the point in that game, and I finished Three Houses, but like I got extremely annoyed with how much I had to do while I was in the monastery, and I just kind of wanted to keep going back to gameplay. But then the actual combat itself was a little bit shallow in that game, and it didn't feel like you were really like playing around with things super intricately. And this one, it has the ring system where it has all these old characters from previous Fire Emblem games that sort of you can pair with the, you know, alive active characters in this mm-hmm. game, and they can give them like special abilities. It's super in depth. Like they can even have them like learn new weapon types that they can wield and stuff. And you need to know how to use certain weapons to be able to upgrade your classes for certain characters. And so you can get those by like equipping them with this emblem, like increasing your bond with that emblem, and then like purchasing that specific trait. And so it's like, there's way more depth here to the gameplay and the systems than there was in the previous game. And it's just a lot of fun to play around with. Mm-hmm. The story is definitely not as good. It's pretty vanilla. And I was noticing this, the protagonist who talks in this game at the very least, is basically just like milquetoast nothing. And I think a lot of that has just sort of come down to the last handful of Fire Emblem games. They kind of want to just make it an avatar for you to project yourself onto, and then the other characters are the interesting ones. And that works better in Three Houses, because those three characters who led the houses were like pretty strong and well developed, but they're not quite as well developed with the side characters in this one. I honestly feel like it's been since like Path of Radiance on the GameCube, since like they had like real honest to goodness characters as the main character in these games. And you can almost feel that more strongly because you have all these emblems from these old games and you're like, oh yeah, Marth is a cool character. Like these characters were interesting in their own ways. And now they just sort of feel like all of them just sort of feel like, oh, they're this destined dragon and they're just always going to be the strongest member of your party. And they're always just going to be like, you know, so the story, all of that is the only thing that's kind of dragging it down for me. But I've gotten to about the halfway point where things sort of go down. It's pretty typical for Fire Emblem games for there to be like a big shift in the middle. Yeah. So I'm really excited to go into that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit pause, play Dead Space, and then play the second half of this game.
Cool. That sounds like a great plan. I like Fire Emblem. I was just going to say, I like Fire Emblem. I like tactics games in general. I skipped Three Houses, though, because all I ever heard people talk about was how they're having tea parties in their game. And that did not sound like fun to me. So I've got Engage and I fired up and I played through the tutorial and the first one or two battles, whatever. So I've just barely dipped my toes in it. Mm-hmm. But I will say, immediately upon starting it, I immediately regretted not turning on a Japanese voice track, because English voice acting is super annoying. But then when I looked in the menus, there actually isn't one. There's no Japanese voice track.
No. So, yeah, Did you go with the male or the female lead character?
Female, but I don't think she's okay. The annoying one. It's like those kids and.
That's fair. Yeah. The my least favorite voice so far is the male lead character, which sucks because he's in every scene. So
yeah, great.
Yeah, so but
if I were to turn off the battle animations and then skip every single cutscene, which is generally what I do with these games, and I still like them. Would this be just a fun series of like tactical battles?
Probably. I'd say so. And there is sort of out of combat stuff. There's this, I think it's called the Somnium, where you go back to and like you can buy new weapons and you can do a bunch of cool things, upgrade the rings and bond with your characters a little bit more. But it's way more compact than the monastery was. And you can basically do like a loop of it and do everything you need to do in like 5 minutes and then just get back to the combat. So yeah, you could probably just play it that way if you want to. And one thing I didn't mention is, you know, this game kind of breaks the streak of like kind of ugly first party Switch games. This game looks really good.
I agree with that.
For hardware that's this old, like it looks great. It definitely looks better than Three Houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I mean, even though I just said I turned them all off and skipped them, like just watching the videos of these animations, it looks so cool. Mm-hmm. Like the character designs are kind of varied. And, you know, not my thing, but they just look sharp and pretty. And like, I just I like the way they're conveying. Sometimes that kind of half cell shade look doesn't look that great. This case.
Mark, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like, how's the romance?
Are you asking me how the romance is?
No.
I haven't encountered the romance, actually. There might be halfway through the game.
No romance.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it. And it's just like, there's definitely. Okay. So. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to use this word or not. Okay, I'm going to use this word.
Okay.
There's a lot of characters that seem to be like vaguely horny for the main character and are just constantly talking about like how hot he is and how obsessed they are with him. And like a couple of characters have like a fan club for him. But you don't actually like do any dating, at least so far in the game. So it's kind of funny. It seems like maybe they like knew that people would like miss out on that, so they included some sort of like
if they took out like the kind of the home base management and the relationship management, that's a stripped down Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's like back to basics for better and like maybe a little bit for worse, but like this is just really hitting the spot for me right now, so I like it a lot.
And Mark, I think you liked Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, is that right?
Yep, I do. So I love that game.
Will you play Engage?
No. Because I have a friend who is playing it and she said that she played 33 hours in one weekend. And that is all I need to know that I will not be playing this game. That is a lot of gameplay. That's just so much. Mark doesn't have that kind of time anymore or attention span. If somebody says I played the game for 33 hours, if you didn't beat the game three times, then I'm out. that's too long.
Wow. Only short games from
I'm too tired, man. I'm way too tired. There's too much TV to watch. I'm rewatching The Last of Us already. There's only two episodes. And
you got to shave those seconds off those Mario 64 stars.
Yeah. Never. I will never sacrifice. I just got to get faster at beating it to make time for other things in my life. I get it. All right. Well, I'll try. I've been trying for years.
Well, Mark, did you play any Forspoken?
Yes, I played a lot of Forspoken, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That game is out. It's gotten sort of mediocre reviews across the board, I believe. Yeah. Not too surprising, right? There wasn't a lot of hype for that game pre-release. What did you think, Mark?
That game was the perfect example for why game demos should exist, to be honest with you, because I was like, yeah, this looks cool. I'd like to play it. And then they put out a demo, and I think the world unanimously was like, nope, this isn't for me. Thank God I got to try it. And I was along that group of people, right? Like I played the demo and I was like, I do not like this combat. I do not like the cuff and fray banter. I thought the world, even in a demo, I could tell the world was going to feel empty. But I don't know if you guys know this, but I work at IGN.com. So sometimes you have to play games even when you're not excited for them. So booted up Forspoken. I think the music is great. I like the music a lot. I thought the opening was like okay. And then it's once you get into the open world that you're like, the first thing, one of the first things the game has you do once you enter the open world is it has you go across the entire map to go on a quest to find some dude. And you're just going and you're like, I don't care to stop at like any of this stuff, but this map is huge. Well,
I care to stop at like every single crackdown orb possible.
Right. And so I was doing that as well. I was stopping at the mana things and I'm like, I'm getting nowhere. I'd played for like a half hour. I was still in the same area because you're just running around. Yeah, then I'm like, oh, there's
6,000 kilometers or whatever it says. There's like a countdown.
So finally I had to just go tunnel vision. And yeah, exactly. I'd like almost maxed out my skill tree before I even did that first mission. And yeah, so overall, I think it's fine. I think the gameplay isn't like offensively bad. I think the combat's like, I think it's okay. I've actually been more down on the combat than other people. I've been talking to Tom who reviewed it and he's like, I really like the combat. And I'm like, I don't think it's very good. And then, yeah, I think the story is really bad. I think the writing is super poor. Yeah. And the game is just not that pretty. I am surprised that it's like PS5 exclusive as in like, it's not on PS4 because it's kind of like Gotham Knights. It's weird. Like that game wasn't that pretty either. But they canceled the old gen version. And so it makes me terrified to think if this game was on PS4. Because
it no has one looked great on PS4. 64 era fog.
It does. And they even try to explain it. They're like, hey guys, it's foggy because of the break. And I'm like, no, it's foggy because the game looks bad.
The main antagonist in the game is a fog. And it fogs, you know, as far as your draw distance.
Yep. That's definitely
there it is.
You
that's
know,
it. Right that's, there. That's the stuff.
So yeah, you played a bunch of this too.
Yeah, I played a ton. In fact, I can relate to everything Mark's saying. One like it's just kind of okay. I have a couple things to say. One is this kind of is an example of like how kind of just kind of poorly thought out it is in the intro, which is very long and set in a city where you go through this kind of like kind of embarrassingly bad backstory. while that's happening, your character goes home and picks up a copy of Alice in Wonderland and like uses on it.
Oh my god.
Yep. And is literally
it's
like
real bad.
She like verbally says, I wish I could just slip down a rabbit hole and disappear into another world. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So she just stands there saying, man, I'm a real fish out of water here.
Yeah, 100%. It's clever it ain't. And so it goes from that into, you know, a Narnia knockoff, right? Yep. And so it kind of does that thing, and people are all kind of stupid in it. They all like kind of ignore like really weird obvious things, and it's just whatever. But then you look at the pedigree of the game. This is the team that made Final Fantasy 15, which is also pretty stupid, right? But like it's Final Fantasy, so like it gets a pass for a lot. It doesn't take itself as seriously. Got chocobos, you know. Nobody's going to give that game a award for writing, but like that team made this, and then if you look at the credited writers, which I know didn't end up polishing this game, Amy Hennig, Gary Whitta, go on Wikipedia.
It has an
amazing team. I am not saying these people are bad at their jobs or anything like that. I'm just saying like they had some options here maybe at one point to go in different directions, but where this game ended up was probably not what was expected. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I just like, I like wonder what it could have been. And then there's just some like things that drive me crazy. Like the character, it seems like it's a YA game. Like it's supposed to be like young adult fiction. Seems like it's set for like teenagers. There's like swears are like every other word.
Yep.
And it's like, it's really like obvious, like how scripted the swears are. And it's like F bombs and S bombs. And like, it would be funny, but the characters aren't likable. So it's like, this is just people swearing at each other, which is strange. So that's happening. And then, you know, like the teeth look bad, for example. You're just like, I don't like looking at everybody's teeth in this game. There's like weird things like that where you're just like, what happened here? So I think the good thing to say about this is like, I think it's really cool that a team of Square Enix's, like, you know, new developers didn't get put on a Final Fantasy project after they made a Final Fantasy game. They got put on a project, they have to make whatever they want. That should be something that happens more often. Mm. And then we get experiments that are like this, and we get experiments that are like better games, right? And that's fine. That's a healthy industry. So I have nothing against the game or its creation. I think it's cool that it exists.
Yeah, it is cool that Square Enix tried something so different for them. You know, when they just pump out so many games every year that are like based on their existing franchises. Colin, I think you generally like Square Enix games. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But any Forspoken for you?
I have not played it, and I am not going to.
What if I told you it had Moogles in it?
Does it actually?
No.
Okay, no. Then even if it did, like if it were a numbered Final Fantasy game, I would play it purely to be like a completionist. But like, yeah. I've seen enough. I've heard enough.
I've seen enough.
there's enough games coming out soon and actively that I want to play that like I'm not going to spend my time playing something that I'm pretty sure is not going to be for me.
So let me level a criticism of this game that I can level a God of War, and I did. The character in this game does not want to be doing the things that she's doing ever. She's just like reluctant, like, you know, they call that a like reluctant hero or whatever. That is not an archetype that's fun to play in a video game, because you're just forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do the entire time. And it feels bad. And it's the same thing with Kratos, where, like, at least, you know, in this game, I think there's a, I don't know, she's adventuring for the first time. And that Kratos is like, maybe stop going on these God-killing adventures if you hate it as much. But no, he doesn't. It's drawn back into it.
The difference there is that, yeah, Kratos doesn't want to do it, but Atreus, the dialogue between the two, like, kind of... You can understand why he's being pushed to do this thing and the consequences of the world. And like, you understand that stuff. Where in this, you're Atreus is Cuff. And
he doesn't want to do it either.
he's offended by the fact that you want to go back home. Like, he's just offended by that notion.
And also he's not helpful. You're like, what could be happening in this world? It's like, there's no way to know. That's his answer to everything.
They also just actively disagree with each other because they think that that's funny. Like, she'll take a picture and she'll be like, that's a good picture. And he'll be like, it's passable. Why? Why
and
is it
she
passable?
She just says F you and they move on. That's actual dialogue in the game.
Right. And it's just like, that doesn't make sense. Or he'll be like, oh, this is like something you should try to do more, like, or whatever. And she'll be like, nah, I don't want to. And it's like, they had a giant whiteboard that it was just like, they need to disagree with each other. So it doesn't matter what dialogue is written. As long as they disagree, it's funny. But it's not funny. Nope. It's just not.
No. Nope. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that is the story of Forspoken.
Let's talk about it. Summed it up.
Let's talk about a game that's not out yet, and that is Redfall. But at least we now finally know when it is going to be out. Redfall will be out on May 2nd, 10 days before The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. That doesn't mean a lot to anyone who only owns an Xbox, but for us, we gotta play Redfall really fast.
Totally. Mark, every Xbox person is going, it's on PC as well. You know, they don't like when you call it the Xbox a console. I've learned this. I don't know how much I care about Redfall. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think it looks cool, but I don't super love arcane games. I could not get into Deathloop.
My god, are you kidding me?
Not at all.
I would think Deathloop's a Mark game. It has like such short little segments you can beat in like 4 hours. Yeah.
Great for speedrunning.
Did not love that game. We did do a Devs React to speedruns for it, though. So I recognize, game recognizes game. But I didn't like it. This game, I think it really depends on how willing my group of friends is going to be to play it. I think we can have some fun as a group. But looking from what I've seen, this looks like a video game. This doesn't look like something I'm just going to like lose my mind over, is what I'm saying. Like, it looks like a game I'll try. I'll play it over the weekend. But like, is this going to be my new obsession? Probably not. It looks like a game. I'll give it a shot. It's on Game Pass. Why not?
It is on Game Pass.
This presentation sold me on it. I was already intrigued because I like Arcane a lot, but I didn't quite know it, like its identity was. And gameplay-wise, it still looks very Arcane-y, which is great because they know what they're doing. Just the idea of sort of going around, killing all of these different vampires, all of the sort of different specific abilities that these characters have and how they can like interact with each other. I was watching the stream with my team, the social team, and like immediately four of us were just like, yeah, when this game comes out, let's all just like play through this game together. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, it's almost this like sort of a more cartoony four player death loop in a way. Obviously it's not going to have the same like loop system, but I'm just really excited for this. Just gameplay alone, I trust that Arcane's going to make a fun game. So I'm excited.
Kind of reminds me of Borderlands, like when you're looking at like the different spells and abilities. And if you strip out the overly long like cutscenes, my favorite thing to do in like Borderlands 3 was like, I want to try a new character, but it's hard because, you know, those intros are so long and you have to stand there and watch Lilith do stuff. If this is something that I can be like, now I want to try this character and jump in, like, I find that super interesting because all of the characters look very different.
Yeah. Sam, how are you feeling about Redfall?
First of all, this area is supposed to be procedurally generated, which I thought was interesting.
Oh. Just this area?
Yeah, there's areas of the game which are, okay. And so that was one of them. You can tell it's like a corridor-like, so that's kind of cool. Mm. Okay, so I underestimated, like everybody, Deathloop, right? So I'm just not going to do that anymore with arcade games. If there's a big single-player game with like a lot of clever combat potential, and they said in this thing, which I don't know if it's true or not, they're like, you can play this like our other games.
Yeah.
If you want to sneak, you can. But like, I also played Gotham Knights, and I saw how bad Batman was, you know, kind of nerfed by a multiplayer game. So like, that's possible too. There's both possibilities, right? And like, I'm not going to play a Left 4 Dead. I'm just not going to. I don't want to. I want to play a cool arcade single player game. So if that's there, we'll see.
Yep. They're saying exactly that this is closer to Far Cry than it would be Left 4 Dead. Like open world, kind of go anywhere. That's just what they're pushing. Like they've specifically been trying to squash the notion that this is anything like Left 4 Dead. They're also very trying to like push that this is a single player game and a multiplayer game, and that you're not losing out on either experience if you choose one or the other, which is also exciting because I like doing both.
Yeah, that'll be the big question for me. If it's actually fun to play by myself, like Borderlands is, then I can get into it. But what do you think? The release date of May 2nd, what does that tell us about when Starfield might be out? Because I don't think it's coming out
on May 2nd. That's what
And I don't think it's going to come out in the first half of the year.
I think it's their winter game.
I think so too. They just haven't announced that yet.
I think they've needed that time. Frankly, I don't think it looked particularly good when we saw it was it E3 technically, like their showcase or whatever?
Whatever Summer Gaming, whatever their E3, their E3 replacement was last year.
Yeah. I can't remember which year they did a digital E3 and which ones that they just like scrapped it anymore. The last 3 years have been a blur. It just didn't look like it was particularly close to completion. Then of course they delayed it like into the next year, and now they've delayed it, probably are delaying it even further. And I think that's a good thing. Maybe they'll go for the 11/11 date. It'll just be 11/11/23 instead. And I think that's probably enough time to get it to where they want it to be. I genuinely would not be shocked if this went into 2024. I don't think it will. I think it's just going to be late 2023. Yeah.
Mark, what do you think?
It's hard. We don't comment on leaks or speculation, but there was a leak about Hi-Fi Rush, and that person has also said other things that you're like, huh? And that they're saying that Starfield is likely to be in the first half, but that it might not, I don't know, that it may not be in the best condition. But I don't know. I don't know what that means for a Bethesda game anyways, because most of their games don't launch in the best condition. And that's saying that as someone who loves Fallout 4 and works at this company because of Fallout 4. I don't know. Selfishly, I want the game as fast as possible, but also I really love fall games, right? I really love taking break over Christmas or Thanksgiving and just like playing a game. And if this does come out, you know, in the first half, it's going to be after Redfall, so you have to assume it would be around June. Man, it's E3, and like that sounds really stressful for this big game.
A lot of other games coming out in June.
Right. It's a very stacked year. So it's like, I don't know. With Redfall and Starfield, I feel like Xbox should try to space it out a little bit more. So 2 months that you have these two like super hyped games and they're going to come out within a month or so of each other. Unless they have something else like Hellblade 2 is their fall game, I would personally, Mark Spencer Starfield, would save it.
Starfield would be a bigger fall game than Hellblade 2.
I agree, but if they can be like, hey, yes, Redfall, then Starfield, but don't worry about fall because we also have Hellblade. What would suck is for both of these games to come out before June, you know, around June, and then have nothing for fall except for like Forza, right?
Which is Forza at some point too. Right? I don't know, Sam. Right. What do you think?
I think it's out. I don't think they're going to change it. I think they just needed a little bit more time, and they'll stick to it because they said they were going to. And Bethesda has done amazing things before, including announcing a game and then putting it out 6 months later. And I think they, more than other studios, know their timing better. I don't think they care what's happening on Xbox for this fall. I just don't think Bethesda, Xbox has nothing to do with it. They're not telling them to hold their game. You know, Bethesda will do whatever they want, and this was their plan, and they'll put it out, and they probably have plans for the fall, and so does Xbox, but there's no bearing on this.
I'm very excited to see what they, because they said that there's going to be a Starfield specific showcase soon. So I'm very excited to see where it's at, and sort of taking a step back and thinking about it, that they are about to do like a big showcase again. They know that it has to be in like a very presentable state. And I'm gonna walk back on my prediction that it's possible for it to slip into 2024. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do still think it's going to be late 2023.
I think Diablo, Starfield, and Street Fighter 6 are all coming out in June now.
And
Final Fantasy 16.
Yikes.
And E3 is happening.
Yeah. Well, if they wanted to do that and technically sneak it in before the end of the first half of the year, June 30th is on a Friday this year. So.
Perfect. Perfect. Put it out. We held to the plan.
Did Damon just announce the release date?
We kept our promise. June 30th. Starfield is out. You heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
Okay, back to games that are out now. It's time to check in with the Nintendo Seal of Quantity, which is your guarantee that there is absolutely nobody watching the Nintendo eShop. Anyone can publish anything on that store. We've got some good ones to highlight this week. I think my favorite one this week is called That's a Cow Deluxe Edition.
Alpha.
The deluxe edition of That's a Cow, which is the thing that's weird.
It certainly is. Whoa. Huh. Whoa, Butter Jets.
They are earning the deluxe name right now, I could tell you.
The weird thing is that the deluxe edition is $2, but the regular ass edition is $6. So I don't know what's happening there. So the description of this is soar through the air and don't get milked in this cute game. One of the lines in the description just says jet udders with no punctuation. Then you are an animal rocket. Launch yourself and don't get shot down. And then it says in another line, new goodies every hour. No punctuation. Shoot enemies with a stream of white drink to make them as gentle as sheep.
No.
This is a very rare Seal of Quantity game that actually has gameplay that we can watch.
Yeah. I think I would play this.
That like, actually looked like a video game. I'm surprised.
It says, use the milk or other liquids to fly away. Push physical obstacles or stop your enemies. Shuffle your hooves and don't hold back. Under key features, it says, shooting a stream of milk and more.
What? That's it. What are the other liquids?
They couldn't name one more key feature.
chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk would be good.
Yeah.
Strawberry milk.
Banana milk.
It'd be brown drink.
I've had banana milk from a 7-Eleven. It was great. I liked it. I bought it as a joke, and I actually liked it.
Banana?
Yeah. I was like, ew, banana milk. What is this? And I actually liked it. I thought it was good.
Is it like Nestle that makes that?
Yeah. It's one of those, like, you go to 7-Eleven, there's like 17 different kinds of milk. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And it was good.
Yeah. I've had it.
Okay, that is That's a Cow Deluxe Edition. Our next pick this week is called Arcade Machine Clown Hunt. This one is $2. It says, new arcade machine for one or two players. Hunt for the Clowns is wild. Clowns are here to ruin your evening at Funfair. Don't let them get over your head and show them you can deliver a clean joke.
There he is. That is... That has got to be one of the most terrifying clowns I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, try out there with killer clowns.
So, yeah, some kind of exploitation of, I guess, killer clowns. And
I think it's like a shooting gallery. It's like,
why is his hair grapes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I demand more bottles. Oh, there we go.
Shooting gallery. So under features, it says super scary giant clown boss with his knives out. Enough guns to pick up for up to two players. And it says, the night of reckoning is upon us. First gophers and now this. Survive at all costs.
What does gophers have to do with?
So maybe there's like,
is this a sequel?
Shooting gallery?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe there was arcade machine gophers before this.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. That is arcade machine clown hunt. It'll set you back $2.
Yikes.
Next one, I only put on here because of what a blatant ripoff is. And maybe Justin is the only one who could appreciate this. Does anyone know Peppa Pig?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
Peppa Pig is a ubiquitous referenced thing.
Okay, out this week is a game called Hippo Little Red Riding Hood, and I hope Jobert can pull this up because it's so blatantly a Peppa Pig.
Wow, that is
there she is.
It's even
Peppa Pig.
The same animal friends that Peppa Pig has.
Yeah,
but this is Hippo.
That's 100% just like you know, my cousin's daughter sees a game on Switch and goes, "Yep, I want this. It's a Peppa the Pig game." And they just buy it. Yep.
Yep.
Those fish from our TikTok video are probably going to buy that game.
This game costs $10, by the way.
Wow.
Five times as much. Five times as much as That's a Cow Deluxe Edition.
Yeah.
What do you think that pig's name on the right there is? It's just shameful.
Yeah.
Pepper.
They have a pig in it.
I love that there's no depth with her nose. It's just like, it's just over here. And you're supposed to believe it's a snout, but there's like no shadow or nothing. Okay.
Yep.
That's
so this, you know, this,
oh,
this game something. is intended for very young children to play. And there's lots of games like that on the eShop. And that's why this next pick, it's called Kindergarten Buddy Edition. I was fully expecting a game that was intended for children, but my first clue that something was off is that there was an age verification that you had to enter before getting to the Kindergarten Buddy Edition's game page. And the description is, uncover a grand conspiracy by living the same day over and over again with the power of friendship, excessive violence, and nuggets, you will discover the truth.
Like
Kindergarten
chicken nuggets?
Buddy Edition brings all the fun and janitor attacks of both Kindergarten and Kindergarten 2 into one unholy package. Learn to share, help Cindy bully an innocent girl, get other kids expelled, and take some pills. That's what you do in Kindergarten.
Take some pills. Yeah.
It's like Postal plus Bully plus
the
13-year-old game designer.
Yeah,
plus Dr. Mario.
With bad pixel art as
with its worse style. Graphics than Earthbound.
Yeah. Right. Those are your main picks. Honorable mention, these are some game titles that stood out to me. I did no investigation to see whether they actually qualify as shovelware. I just liked these game titles. And they include Fighting Girl. Thought that was a pretty good one.
That's pretty
good. The next one is Japanese Escape from the Room with Sturdy Door. Oh, yeah, there's Fighting Girl.
I love that they just went to Google Images, typed anime girl, clipped her out, and put her in front of some clouds. And that's like a Pokemon font. That's
The next one is Japanese Escape from the Room with Sturdy Door.
You see, when the door is sturdy, it becomes much harder to escape.
Sturdy door. That's the worst possible scenario.
You ain't escaping from that. You got to solve the puzzle. Look at those mist level graphics.
Way too sturdy. Oh, this is 100% just pictures that you're clicking around. Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually, I walked back what I said earlier. I am going to throw this on the shovelware pile. There's so much empty space in this escape room. The last one this week, the title I like is Santa Claus Goblins Attack.
Huh.
It is the season for both holidays.
Yeah.
You know,
January.
Santa Claus Goblins Attack.
I mean,
they couldn't ship it. They couldn't get it shipped by Halloween.
Claus from those old claymation movies. That's just him.
This looks like a cool shmup.
But then the goblin. He looks like from Spider-Man.
You know, yeah, I
everyone,
guess
everyone remember in late last year when the official Twitter account for Santa Claus Goblins Attack posted that image, like, to our fans, we're very sorry to have to announce we're going to have to delay the release of Santa Claus Goblins Attack.
The big yellow background.
We have gameplay. We promise.
Yeah, got some screens. We'll show you.
You know, elves were already part of the Santa cinematic universe. So goblins being part of it too just makes sense. It's just natural.
Is a natural stepping stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
that was the Nintendo Seal of Quality, the gift that keeps on giving week after week after week. And that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Tyler in Seattle, Washington.
Wow, this is an efficient episode. Maybe our questioning can be efficient.
Let the questioning begin.
We got it in 20 last time, Colin.
And I think we did. That was freaking me out. I think that one just sort of came down to...
That's terrifying.
Yeah. But we were circling it for a while, so...
Well, what was it again? I can't even remember.
It was Ace Attorney. Sorry, spoilers if people haven't watched last week's episode. I think you said the name of it.
That wouldn't make sense. These are sequential. It'd be weird to watch them out of order.
Yeah.
I think you said the name of it like five questions before the end. But like we didn't think that it was on the Wii, so we just kept sort of being like, I don't know, Zach and Wiki? Yeah, okay, sorry. Different 20 questions now. Was this game released in this century?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Was this game released in the after January 1st, 2010?
Yeah. 2012.
Sure. 2012.
Yeah.
Keep it to. Okay. Was this released
a
after
console
the
jump.
Year 2012?
No.
Okay. So it's between 2000 and 2012. So, we can live with that.
Let's see here.
Was this a console exclusive?
Yes. We'll call it a platform exclusive.
Okay, gotcha. So probably also on PC, I assume, is what we can infer from that. I guess there's a lot of Xbox games that have that.
Sorry, so we're between...
First of all, I think what Damon was just implying is that it's not on a handheld or...
Oh, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
So we're between 2000 and 2012. So this is this would be pre PS4. Xbox One. No, don't make me full screen while I'm thinking. The audience can't know that.
Damon, did this come out in a cartridge format?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Could be digitally.
Could be PSP.
Oh, yeah. We didn't ask if it's a WMD.
Not a WMD.
UMD. That's my bad. Sorry, I'm still thinking about cows and udders attacking, and I can't get it off my brain. I'm all messed up.
That's a cow.
An udder of mass destruction.
That's what UMD stands for. Now we know. Definitely not universal. Works on everything.
I liked it.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, so was this game on a handheld? Handhelds were thriving during that time.
What do you mean by handheld?
Okay, so was this game on DS or PSP?
Hold on, Mark. Was this a cell phone game?
Oh, yeah,
that's what I'm starting to think.
Okay. Yes, and that's
okay,
five.
Awesome.
All right, it's Angry Birds, the only cell phone game.
It very much could be. How do we narrow this down, generally speaking, so we don't get like too into the weeds with specific titles?
Well, how about this? Was this game well received?
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, I guess the thing I'm worried about is
that Blade game that IGN gave a 10 to. It's probably that.
Oh God, what was that called? It was like two words, I believe.
Blade or Iron Blade or
Unlimited.
All right.
Something.
Why do we have a mobile game when Justin's not here?
I know, God.
But is it mobile
Infinity
only?
I remember
Infinity Blade. I remember that was like the first mobile game where it's like you have to have this
pocket.
Phone.
We've come up with a single mobile game name, all right? Single mobile game so far. And we're doing great. I think we're doing great.
Yeah.
Zune? Is that what it's called? Zune? The mobile game?
Zune. That was a MP3 player back in the day.
Yeah,
I believe it was on the Microsoft MP3 player.
Oh, I had a poop brown Zune.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Zuma. I can't remember. All right. Anyway,
Zune. Yeah.
Was this a puzzle game?
No.
Okay.
I would definitely consider Angry Birds a puzzle game.
Yeah, and Candy Crush.
How about
rope?
This?
You guys remember Cut the Rope?
Yeah, that was the first thing I said.
Where's the water? The hook, man, this is classic.
How about this? Is this game a fantasy game?
Yes.
Okay, it's probably it might be
Infinity Blade.
It'd be Sword and Sorcery, too. Was this game praised for its high graphical qualities?
Yes.
Oh, it's definitely
Infinity. I mean, what else can we possibly do?
That's what it was called, right? It's called Infinity.
How many
Blade?
Questions are we on?
Like less than 10.
You've asked 9 questions.
Oh,
right, we just want to guess it.
We're doing it. We're doing it.
Okay. All right.
Blade. No way.
Yes, it is Infinity. Yes.
Wow.
So I did. That saved us like 10 questions on our big count for the year.
Wow. Yeah.
Dang.
Who would have thunk that it would be Infinity Blade and we'd get it in 10
questions? Wow, this game looks great.
Yeah,
yeah, it really does.
Unreal Engine 3.
10, damn.
2010. Unreal Engine, developed by Chair, who did Shadow Complex. That's called
yes. Great game.
And Epic Games, published by Epic Games. So yeah, this was like a big deal at the time.
Oh man.
But
so
they
what
made,
happened to Chair?
They're still around. They made 3 of these games, but they were only ever on iOS. And now they've been delisted. So they're just gone. These 3 games are just gone.
I remember this was like it was a big deal. It was like I had the iPhone 3G or whatever, and it was like it barely works on that phone. You have to have the better phone. And that was like kind of a weird thing because like Angry Birds worked
they'll
on everything.
Though, right?
And so
I'll sell it to you.
Yeah. Oh well, actually that's an iPhone 3G right there, and it's working
look
fine.
At that
so
iPhone,
maybe I'm just
I love it.
That was pretty mind-blowing in 2010, you know, 13 years ago. You were looking at this on your phone.
I wonder whose fingers those are.
And then, Sam, I don't know if you've ever encountered this. it could be Hillary Goldstein's.
Yeah, he loved that game. Yeah. Good 10, right?
Yeah. Sam, I don't know if you've ever encountered this. They ported this to arcade, and it's like motion sensing. Yeah. Where you just swipe your arms.
What an experimental game.
This really took The Office by storm, and I think IGN championed it a lot. Otherwise, it might have been. More, but like I think we gave it a 10, right?
I think so, yeah, or at least a 9 before I hiked. And then to answer your question, Sam, I forgot that Justin wasn't going to be on this week, or else I would have used this for
maybe he would have muddied the water.
Now we can,
like,
now
no,
we can
I,
let
can,
him know.
I can name 100 games that this could be,
yeah,
but maybe iPhone games are too easy because I have to give qualifying answers like
maybe
what do you consider handheld or
the other game I was thinking of was Sword and Sorcery. Do you remember that like good
that
pixel
was,
but it was like it was pretty fun.
That was Cappy.
Oh, it was okay.
Yeah. Yep. Infinity Blade. Nicely job. You guys got there. Thank you for the suggestion, Tyler in Seattle, Washington. Viewers and listeners, if you have your own suggestions for video game 20 questions, email them to me at the address gamescoop@IGN.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you to Sam. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Mark. Thank you to Jobert working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. I'm going to go eat a whole bunch of sushi now until I pass out and we're out.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy birthday sushis.
Thanks, everyone.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.